Welcome to the latest episode of the Gospel Podcasts. These recordings are published weekly by the Christians that assemble at the Hospital Hill Gospel Hall in Dunfermline, Scotland. Be assured you are in our prayers, and we know that God will bless you for listening. Further information is provided at the end of this short podcast. I now pass you over to the latest message recently recorded at the Gospel Hall. Thank you.
Now, I would like to read in the Old Testament this afternoon, in the prophecy of Isaiah, and in chapter 55. Now, Isaiah chapter 55 begins in quite an unexpected way that you'll not find often in the scriptures. It begins with the word ho, maybe not a very common expression today, but we're going to read most of our chapter. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labour for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good. And let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and a commander to the people. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee, because of the Lord thy God, and for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. For ye shall go out with joy, and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree. Instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. And it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. Now we know that the Lord will bless this reading from his word. Now there are many details in this passage that are perhaps difficult for us to understand, and we don't have time this afternoon to go into all its details, but we want to, from these verses, pick out some expressions that present to us the way of salvation that is certainly relevant for us and true for us. And the chapter begins in a remarkable way. It begins with a call to people who are thirsty. Now, the thirst that is being referred to here is not simply thirst for literal water or literal drink. We might call it a thirst of our souls. There is a longing that is not satisfied by other things. And I want to ask this question this afternoon, that there may well be in your life a sense there is something missing, a sense that no matter what you try and no matter what you go in for, At the end of the day, it never completely satisfies you. It leaves you with a longing. It leaves you with an emptiness. And what we want to suggest to you from Isaiah chapter 55 is that that desire, that emptiness, that longing can only be satisfied by God himself, by the Lord Jesus himself. In John chapter 7, the Lord Jesus made this cry, this call. He said, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink." Now again, he's not speaking of literal water that you would get from a tap, but he's speaking to people who, after coming up to Jerusalem for a feast, one of the feasts that Israel had to keep, the Feast of Tabernacles, and they'd been engaged in religious activity for a whole week, and at the end of it, in that great day, the Lord Jesus says, "If any man thirst," in other words, what they had been engaged in, although religious ritual, it hadn't satisfied. And yet he presents himself as one who they could come to. "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink." And the Lord Jesus still stands, as it were, this evening. And he says, "If any man thirst, if any woman thirst, if any boy thirst, any girl thirst, let them come unto me. And they will find that which satisfies them and fills them and meets their needs." Now, we have various needs. We're going to see that we have a need of forgiveness, of pardon. But we also have a need of coming to know God. There is that which is about us, the way we've been created, that we have been created so that we might enjoy fellowship with God. And yet our sin has separated us from God. And the Lord Jesus presents himself as the one who is able to satisfy that need. "If anyone thirst, let them come unto me and drink." Now, the idea of drinking is a very simple thing. We do it every day, of course. We do it multiple times a day. And we probably don't even think about it at all. But of course, one thing about drinking is that it is individual. I can't drink for you. And you can't drink for me. It is something that we do on our own and as individuals. And the Lord Jesus is speaking of something that each individual has to do. They have to come to him and, as it were, enter into by faith what he is able to bring and able to offer. And our chapter begins with this important call. "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters." And so we have a need that is identified, the need, the thirst of the soul. Now, of course, there's other aspects of that need. There is the need because we're sinners. There's the need because we're defiled. There's a need because we're at a distance from God. There's a need because we're viewed as being dead in trespasses and in sins. And all these aspects of our need can be met in the person of the Lord Jesus. The one who died on the cross and rose again, he is the one that says to us, again from John 7, "If anyone thirst, let him come unto me and drink." Now, when we come to verse 2, there is an instruction that is given, not only a need that is experienced, but there is an instruction that is given, and it's simply this: "Hearken diligently unto me." Hearken diligently unto me. In other words, listen carefully. And the word of God would exhort us, encourage us to listen carefully to God's word. Listen carefully to Christ. The Lord Jesus said when he was here in John chapter 5, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into judgment, but is passed from death unto life." We need to hearken diligently. We need to listen carefully to the voice of God. The Lord Jesus said on one occasion to his hearers, his congregation, "If he that hath ears to hear, let him hear." And I wonder, you've come again to a gospel meeting and we're delighted to see you, but I wonder whether you're listening to the word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so the word in verse 2 is, hearken diligently unto me. And then verse 3, incline your ear and come to me. So it's not simply a question of listening. There needs to be a response. That is the idea. And the message from the Lord is, come to me. The Lord Jesus again made that same invitation in Matthew 11. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. You say, how can I come? God is in heaven. The Lord Jesus is in heaven. He died, he rose again, he ascended back to heaven after 40 days, and now he's at the right hand of God. How can I come? It is an act of faith. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. But I want to come to verse 6. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. So we're to hearken. We're to hear the Lord, and we've to come to the Lord. Now, if you like, there is the question raised about what do I want? What do I want? Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. What a wonderful text of scripture. The Lord Jesus in John chapter 1 asked a question, just framed her in this way. To men who had left John the Baptist and started to follow the Lord Jesus, and he asked them, what seek ye? Or, what are you seeking? What are you going after? What's your goals? What do you want? And God, as it were, is asking you this afternoon, what are you? Well, he knows what you're seeking. But the question, the advice, the counsel of Isaiah chapter 55, verse 6 is, seek the Lord. Seek the Lord. Why would I seek the Lord? Well, I would seek the Lord because it is the Lord Jesus who can forgive me. He is able to forgive. He has authority to forgive sins. We learn that in Mark chapter 2. Because he was the one that paid the price for those sins. And he died on the cross, shed his blood, was buried, rose again in triumph. We seek him because he's able to give us forgiveness. We should seek him because he's able to give us life. He says, I give unto my sheep eternal life, and they shall never perish. We should seek him because he is the one that can satisfy and fill us. He's the true bread we were thinking about this afternoon. And the counsel of the word of God that we should listen to is, seek ye the Lord. Now, this statement comes with a warning attached. While he may be found. And we want to say to you this afternoon that he can be found at this moment. But we cannot guarantee any further than that. The Bible speaks about the fact that this is the day of salvation. This is the accepted time. This is the opportunity. But he will not be found forever. He will not be available forever. And so the exhortation that is brought to us from Isaiah 55 is, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. He is near. And so we're encouraged to seek him, to make him our priority, and to call upon him. We'll come to that in a moment. But there will be a day when he will not be found. A day when this gospel will no longer be preached. When this period of divine grace will have come to an end. And it could end today. We believe that the Lord Jesus could come again from heaven and the Christians would be caught up to meet him. And there won't be a gospel meeting here next week. And there will be gospel meetings nowhere next week if that were to happen. and the day of opportunity passes. The opportunity can pass for us because of death. These decisions about salvation have to be made in time. And so the urgent call of Isaiah is this: seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Hosea chapter 10, the prophet Hosea says this: it is time to seek the Lord. And so we urge you to understand the urgency and understand the imperative of seeking the Lord now and call upon him. You say, what am I intended to say? What do I need to call upon him for? Well, the Bible answers that question for us. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And the great example of that is Peter. In a storm, and he's been walking on the water, and he begins to sink, and he simply calls, "Lord, save me." That's what you need to call. You don't have to call it audibly, outwardly. You can call it in your heart. "Lord, save me." That's what it means to call upon him. It is the simplest form of prayer. If you go back to the book of Genesis and chapter 4, right at the end of that chapter, men began to call upon the name of the Lord, the first form of prayer. "Lord, save me," from the heart. Call upon him while he is near. Well, we keep going on these verses and we discover that what God requires of us is that there needs to be a change. And that's described in verse 7. "Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." So we've got this longing that can only be met by Christ, this thirst. We need to seek him, but we also need to repent. We need to change our minds. And that's what the writer is describing. Let the lawless man forsake his way. You see, there are actions and behaviors that we engage in that are sinful. And there is thinking. Let the unrighteous man his thoughts. So sin has affected our minds as well as our actions, the way we go, the way we behave. And we need to repent of our sins. That's the great call of the gospel. When the Lord Jesus preached, he preached repentance. He calls, and Paul, as he preached in Athens, he called all men everywhere to repent. God commands it. Because, says the Lord in verse 8, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord." And so if we listen to men in our world today, their thinking is altogether divergent from the word of God. Man's thinking, man's wisdom, is altogether at variance with what God has to say. "My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord." And what we need to do is align our thinking with God's. And what that means is we have to come to see ourselves as God sees us. We need to see ourselves as sinners in the sight of a holy God, as God sees us. We need to see the Lord Jesus as he's presented to us as the only Saviour. We need to understand and see the value of his death and resurrection. We need to align ourselves with God's thinking. God is not going to change because of us. And so the call goes out, "Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts." And the wonderful thing is this: there is mercy and there is pardon. Our God, he will abundantly pardon. And so we might presently be in our sins, sins that will exclude us from the presence of God. But the message of the gospel brings to us forgiveness. It brings to us pardon to the guilty. Because of the death of Christ, and says the writer here, Isaiah, our God, he will abundantly pardon. God is liberal in his willingness to forgive and pardon guilty sinners on the ground of the death of Christ. He is a merciful God. But we can't presume on that mercy forever. This is the accepted time. The call still goes out. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. I wonder whether you will listen to these words of counsel, these words of encouragement from the scriptures. Listen, hearken diligently. Listen carefully to the words of God. Come to Christ. Seek him. Call upon him. Repent. You know, this picture, this chapter portrays a period of the earth's history, or portrays an earth, an experience that has yet to be realized in our earth. It's going to be realized one day in the future. And in verse 18, the picture is presented of peace and even trees clapping their hands. I never realized trees had hands. But it's a scene of joy. It's a scene of prosperity. It's a scene of peace. And God wants to bring these things into your soul. Joy. Spiritual prosperity. In getting to know the God of heaven. And having a relationship with him. And having peace. Peace with God. Through the Lord Jesus Christ, no longer at a distance, no longer estranged, no longer far from him, but brought near. That's the point. And so these exhortations are made to us. To everyone that thirsts, to everyone. I just want to close on that note. Everyone. You say, does God really care for me? Does God really have an interest in me as an individual? I seem to be so insignificant. Even in the town I live in, nobody would know me. In the country we live in, nobody would particularly know me. I wouldn't stand out amongst the thousands and the millions. And amidst the hundreds of millions of people alive on earth, I would hardly stand out at all. But I want to assure you that God knows you. And you matter to God. And the invitation goes out. Everyone that thirsteth. Hearken. Come. Call upon him. And there is salvation for you in the person of the Lord Jesus. Shall we pray?
Thank you once again for taking the time to listen to this, the latest episode in the Gospel Podcast series. We trust that God will bless you for listening. And if you've not already done so, that you would take this opportunity to put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for the eternal salvation of your precious soul. If you would like further information, or indeed a free personal copy of God's Word, the Bible, you're welcome to contact us. Full contact details can be found on our website, www.hospitalhillgospelhall.org. May God bless you, and goodbye for now.